are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and of course the kid here on this Friday. We're going to go to the phone lines right now, 216-578-0850. Tom in California talking about the Browns offensive coordinator search.
Hey, gents, how are you guys doing?
Good, Tom. How are you, man?
All right, I had to work from home again so I can call in. So, you know, in the offensive coordinator search, you guys are talking about Trestman and a couple of other guys and some of the names that aren't available. But the thing that concerns me about Trestman is that he had Matt Forte for 2 years. He's one of the best backs, and I appreciate what he did with passing to Forte, but he abandoned the run too quickly. And I don't think he really fits with our philosophy. So I wanted to get your take on that. And then I had two other questions that are sort of operational football questions I wanted to ask you guys as well.
So here's what I'd say. Interesting. Just again, these are just always interesting things. Matt Forte, 288 carries last year with Trestman. Career high, 1,341 yards, 9 rushing touchdowns. Those are all career highs with Trestman in 2013. 2014, 266 carries, 1,038 yards, 6 touchdowns. Now, when you look at his entire career in Chicago, those are two of his top 3 seasons in terms of carries. His top season, obviously, being his rookie year when he had 316. So 288, 266 ranked second and third for Forte in terms of carries in his career under Trestman. Averaged about 1,200 yards a season, 7.5 touchdowns on the ground. Now, you look at him, though, as well as a pass catcher. He catched it 75 times, had 75 catches for 592 yards in 2013. So that's about 350 touches for the back, nearly over 1,900 total yards. And then this year, he had 266 carries, as I said, 102 catches for 808 yards. So again, about 1,800 total yards with the running back. It's not just about running. I think you can use the pass as a run when you utilize your backs, and that's something the Browns did nothing of. I think that's a misnomer that he abandons the run.
It definitely is, and I think a lot of the abandonment or the deviation from the run in Chicago this past season is because they were so bad. You know, they were playing from behind in a lot of games, and you wanted to get befuddled Brandon Marshall and Ashon Jeffrey the football and Martellus Bennett. So you had a lot of weapons, you know, and you got to keep everybody happy within that offense. And I think, again, you got to figure over 1,000 yards is still very productive. And of course the yards per carry had gone down in the second year, but the receptions went up by 30. And in some cases, every offense that I've played that throws the ball to the running back is an extension of the run, similar to a screen pass. You know, sure. A team that runs a lot of screens that gets 5 to 7 yards is just an elongated run. You know, it's a way to get to second and four is what you have to understand.
Let me ask you a question with regards to that, because I heard somebody, I forget, some offensive lineman say he disagreed with that because it doesn't give the same pounding. You're not pounding on the defensive lineman, pounding on the linebackers. As a linebacker, covering a screen, is it as physical as covering a running play?
It is. It does. And especially in some cases, because the offense, you want to use your aggression. And what a screen does, it slows you down. So you can't be aggressive. And I get it. From an offensive standpoint, yes, those guys love to bang and be physical. But they also, too, like to get out in space and know what a 25 or 35 yard carry, or you always see those offensive tackles that club by that pass rusher that's coming to get out onto a safety or corner or a scraping linebacker. You know, and yes, do they have to move? Does a 320-pound offensive lineman have to get out in space and run? Yes. They like working in their bubble, which I'm sure they prefer, but it's a great changeup because that's the way. Would you like to have a defensive lineman or defensive end rushing with their ears pinned back, knowing that it's pass all the time? Or would you like to slow them up with the same thing as a draw does? A draw, a sprint draw or a screen slows down the pass rush.
When you look at as a defender, because this brings up a similar point to me, okay, you look at the offenses in the NFL last year, okay? This is just regular season stats from the NFL this season. The best passing offenses in the NFL average 8.4 yards per attempt. That was Dallas, Green Bay, 8.3, Pittsburgh, 8.2, Washington, 8.2. The absolute bottom, which was the Raiders, 5.5 yards per attempt. So they gain 5.5 yards every time they attempt to throw the football. The average team, pretty much in the NFL, 20 teams were at 7 yards per attempt or more. When you look at rushing, there was only one team in the NFL over 5 yards per carry. That was the Seattle Seahawks at 5.3. Everybody else was kind of in the fours or really down all the way in the threes. In fact, there were 20 teams at 4 yards per carry above, just like 20 teams at 7 yards per attempt passing or above. Why do people run the football? Why do you run the football? Why do you really, at the end of the day, you are going to get, isn't it about gaining yards and scoring points? You are guaranteed the worst quarterbacks in the NFL average more yards per attempt than the best running backs in the NFL. So obviously it has maybe something to do with the physicality, but if you're a defense and you know a team is going to pass and they have a great passing offense, does it even matter? Because you look at what, for example, New England did to Baltimore. They didn't care about running the football, right, and they went out and they threw it and they beat them.
Well, but they were like the first team in the last 10 years to run for such a small total and win a game like that. I don't remember the exact stat, but it was something to that effect. I mean, you got to have the right quarterback. What about a team that doesn't have a good quarterback? They got to hide him a little bit. Maybe that's why they run the ball.
But even the worst quarterback in the NFL averaged more yards per attempt than the best running back in the NFL average yards per carry. So shouldn't it be, I mean, in general, this need for balance, et cetera, ultimately, shouldn't you be throwing the football a lot more than you're running it?
I say yes, but I'm, you know, I'm a child of Madden football on the computer. I didn't play the game. What I think maybe, and Matt can expound on this a little bit, but A, it shortens the game, so maybe your defense isn't that good. B, what you're not taking into consideration is the percentage of interceptions is much higher than the percentage of fumbles. So you're, you know, it's sort of defense by playing a little more conservatively.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to talk about the length of a football game, because I know the one thing that scares the bejesus out of a lot of coaches is going, you know, passing completion, you know, and punting. You know, if you start with the ball on your 20-yard line, you know, you've gained 0 yards and you're now, you know, punting them the ball and they're going to get at or around midfield. And other besides that, it is balance. You know, you want to create doubt in a defense's mind, and that's why you see exotic formations, why you see, you know, players moved around, and why you want to have some type of balance in the run game, and because you want to create any bit of doubt you can. And that's why I thought Kyle Shanahan, you know, for the first half of this football season, did a great job. All the runs looked like passes. And I think that's where Brian Hoyer or any quarterback would have succeeded, is you want things to look the same. And if it's pass, to even move to another point that I just kind of came up with as I'm talking about this, is the most valuable position on the football field, you know, is getting attacked 50 times a game if you throw the football. So it takes some of the pounding that a quarterback might get, as well as an opportunity to throw those interceptions if you throw the ball a whole lot in a football game.
What would you rather go against as a defender? Aaron Rodgers coming out and throwing the football all over the yard against you, or a team that's going to come up and just try to run it down your throats?
I would rather go against Aaron Rodgers throwing the football.
Physically?
Physically, yes. Absolutely.
So dropping, then that has
dropping
to be
into coverage and just breaking up, you know, and understanding routes and, you know, coming on blitzes and things of that sort. Absolutely. I definitely would. I mean, as opposed to mano and mano being challenged every single play versus the run. No
and
doubt.
Also, if you pass on every down, then teams don't have to prepare for anything else and they could spend all their time
in a few draws here or there, a few little, you know, runs.
Listen, you're a Madden child also. I mean, that's all that is playing in college, playing Madden.
I was very successful.
I know you were, but that's, you know, not real life.
This is what Outlaw Jesse J says. You're a typical stat guy. You run because it's less risky of turnovers. I know. I like to put points. I don't. And look at this is what I'd say, too. You look at the Buckeyes in that national championship game. Obviously, they ran the ball very effectively. That's what I'm going to say. But you can, if you're moving the ball and you're putting up points, you can have turnovers and win.
No doubt.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but
the reason they won that game, and this is.
Well, they ran the ball over. That's what we said they could.
You know, people are saying, oh, Cardell's got to be the quarterback. He won him a national championship. And I would argue and say Cardell didn't win him a national championship. The offensive line, the defensive line, and the running backs, and as much as I hate to say it, Urban Meyer won him the national championship.
No doubt. And just to jump on that topic for a hot second, you know, while you're here, I think that is a true system in place that any quarterback can flourish, and now we've had three do it.
Here's just, and then again, I know people are going to say that you're like, I'm trying to be biased. And I'm not trying. It's just interesting discussion. Of the four teams that are left in the final four of the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks are the only team that were in the top 12 in the league in terms of rushing attempts. Now, the other three, New England, Green Bay, and Indianapolis, were all in the top half of the league. Now, that could be because of their winning, not so much as because of, you know, their commitment to the run, per se.
Although I thought that last week a key to Green Bay's win was Eddie Lacy's
ability to run the ball early. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Now, of the teams that are in the top 12, we'll just do it the other way, just to look. Top 12 that are in, that are still alive in the playoffs, you have two, Indianapolis and New England. Interestingly enough, where's Green Bay at? 20th. Green Bay 20th in the league in pass attempts. So, just interesting. Just, I was just kind of putting out there. It's kind of just a general speaking food for thought in there. Right now, I think there's trouble a-brewing outside of the studio. We'll see. When we come back, Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report will be with us here to talk the NFL draft, what he thinks for the Cleveland Browns. Also highlight Danny Shelton as well, a guy that certainly Mel Kiper Jr. had going to the Browns in his mock draft yesterday.